After Holy Communion and the official thanksgiving prayer of the Mass, the post-communion, we say, May this communion, O Lord, purify us from sin, and through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, make us partakers of the heavenly remedy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Remedy. What's the remedy? Grace. The life of God in Jesus Christ, in our souls. How do we get it there? Why, through the sacraments, through the blessed sacrament, Holy Communion, and a prayer. But always, just as he came at the beginning, does Jesus Christ come to us through Mary, and only through her. We call this the doctrine of Mary being the mediatrix of all graces. What does that word mean? The Pope Leo XIII explains, all graces come to us from God the Father through the sacred humanity of Jesus Christ, through the hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To us, to the Church, comes this remedy. In a word, Jesus, who is God's gift to us, comes to us only one way, God's way, through his mother. Back to the remedy. What's this a remedy against today? Revolution. And what does that mean? What's a revolution? Well, the general definition, of course, takes us back to the Latin. It almost always does. Revolutio, which means a turnaround, a fundamental change in political power, structures, and life in a short amount of time. We lived through the revolution of Vatican II, some of us, but that's not the anniversary that happens this year. Theoretically, too, revolution entails a popular revolt, which brings it about. But this is mostly myth. Revolutions are well planned in advance by the few and imposed on the many. Why all of this talk of revolution and of remedies so early on New Year's Day? Well, remedies maybe for some of you, but revolutions? Well, do you remember in the old days when we used to read newspapers how you might see on this day the editorial cartoon which would always depict January 1st, the new year, as a little baby in diapers? But this year, the baby is bent down and aged by the burden he carries right from midnight. For this is the year of the revolution. It is 500 years since the Protestant Reformation, 1517 in Germany. We spoke of that last fall, remember? It is 300 years since a secret society, commonly known as Freemasonry, was officially established in 1717 in England. It is 100 years since the Bolshevik or Communist Revolution, November 1917 in Russia. But it is also 100 years since heaven hatched the counter-revolutionary plan and sent Mary to this earth. So 1 month before that last revolution, in October of 1917, was the proof of that plan's origin, the miracle of the sun, the apparition of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal. What's a revolution? A revolution is a radical transformation of society to destroy the old order based on the recognition of the rights of God and man's supernatural life. It also means the doctrines or the principles in whose name that old order was demolished. The aim of revolution is always the denial of God's rights. Usually there's a lot of talk about the rights of man, and the enthronement of the creature in the place of God. What was the first revolution? Why, it was Lucifer's, the revolution of the fallen angels who set themselves up against the divine order. The first declaration of a creature's independence from God. And Lucifer is the prince of this world. There's a chain which links all of these revolutions together. They are all of them a revolt against God. But how does that affect me? How does that affect man? Well, first of all, revolutions always bring about misery with their disorder. Every revolution claims to offer what? Universal happiness. It gets better. Liberty, equality, fraternity. Empty, empty words. Study history. See, the opposite happens. Each revolution, secondly, is fought in the name of liberty. But what happens? Man's personal liberty is diminished with each one. From Luther's first stirrings, Wittenberg in Germany, to Obama's last executive orders, scribbled out and signed during the Christmas holidays. And this is due particularly to the first revolution 500 years ago. Luther abolished the authority of the church, then there was only left the authority of the state, and it's gotten greater and greater ever since. And they didn't wait very long. Another of the consequences of this Protestant doctrine of private judgment, remember, you decide, you're the decider, what the Bible says. You decide what you're going to believe or not. Well, this is a kind of a deification of man, the original revolutionary, before Saul Alinsky and Stalin and Lenin and the rest, was Lucifer. And this was his original propaganda, wasn't it, in the garden? Ye shall be as gods. This is the main tenet of Freemasonry, along with naturalism. Remember our old friend naturalism? We live with it every day. Don't forget it. It means what you see is all you get. What you can touch, feel, or ingest. Grab it now, because this is everything. It's an insidious lie. Well, Freemasonry has always worked to influence, to infiltrate, and to undermine the Catholic Church. The popes, recognizing this, have condemned it over 200 times. Here's where you always have to say in a sermon that, especially in America, many men join the Freemasonic lodges unaware of the diabolic origin and purpose of the secret society, drawn perhaps by this idea of charitable work or simply a kind of a necessary business connection. Now, we're all aware of the third revolution. whose anniversary falls this year, the communist. The world still reels from its effects. Russia will spread its errors, Our Lady said at Fatima, and we saw in the 20th century the prediction come true. Entire nations were destroyed. The tragedy of the last century, with us still in the new. Thus we begin our anniversary year, but not without a remedy. Mary, Queen of Prophets, the prophetess par excellence, is sent from heaven to remind us of the remedy. 100 years ago, she comes with a simple gospel solution, the living of our faith and the meditating, the praying of our gospel by our rosary. How wonderful it will be to celebrate this year the centenary of this apparition. And what hope in a pretty drear post-revolutionary, post-Christian world, where the church, as Our Lady predicted, because the popes of the last century did not want to carry out the consecrations requested, where the church is now without her head, and we have only Bergoglio babbling away fresh heresies every day. Odd that some people, last of all, some people connect Fatima with world wars, nuclear disasters, drear secrets, and coming chastisements. But that's not the way to look at it, not at all. It's a remedy from heaven, like your Holy Communion this morning. And it is as simple as that sublime spiritual act in its message. And this is all to help you to bring the love of God into this world, that's your job, by uniting yourself with the Blessed Trinity, who is present in us by grace, to love the three divine persons with all of our soul. For we worship three persons in one God. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I adore you profoundly. My God, I love you in the most blessed sacrament. Those were some of the prayers the angel taught the children. O Most Holy Trinity, I love thee. The Fatima message, some meditation every day on some of those wonderful gospel stories. That's the rosary. A devotion to the heart of things, the mother's heart, the immaculate heart. First, Saturdays with their communions. And then the duties of your state of life. Our purification from sin. That's what it is. The one sign of hope left to us when all else is gone. A remedy for the revolution. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.